There's something else you can put in your files there. You can have that, actually. When I was in Ireland watching an England A game, Etheridge from Gloucester was playing for the Ireland A.
Yeah. What year was this?
1993.
Oh, yeah.
But I was glancing through the programme, and it came to light. You probably heard the story of Dr. Alcock's cap.
In South Africa,
yes.
Wasn't
it? Oh, yeah, the mistaken identity.
Yeah. So you can add that lot if you want it. But there was the bit of a write-up in the Citizen at the time. There was the team that, the one team that he paid in, Arnold Alcock.
Oh, yeah.
And they got it muddled up because the other player's name was Slowcock. And he got to the ground and presented. They said, "What are you doing here?" And he'd been in the trials and that. He presented his card, said, "Well, I've been selected." And it was too late to do anything else about it, so he played in that one game. Then they realised that he shouldn't have been there, it should have been Slowcock, the captain. Anyway, you can have that.
Good way to get an England cap, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I hope Slowcock got a cap in another game.
He captained England, Slowcock.
All right. Thanks very much for that, Alan. Now, what have we missed out? What questions should have we asked you and we haven't thought to?
Well, I suppose like many players, I've had a great deal of enjoyment out of rugby, and looking back, I've probably been very selfish, but rugby's taken a great priority in my life, and I don't regret it in any way, and I'm certain that anybody who is keen on the game will get the same enjoyment. And I have no hesitation in recommending youngsters or anything like that to at least give it a try. But I always have the feeling that, sadly, in this day and age, the youngsters start so young that I was always told in the old days, if you start young, you finish young. And some of them start so young. And that's sometimes the case. They get either fed up with it by the time, a young age, where they go on many years playing rugby. So it's a difficult thing to get them interested in the game, teach them skills, but not get it too aggressive and get them interested and pace themselves. Mm. Because it can be a long career if you start in the under fours and keep going until you're about 30, isn't it?
Well, I think in the 50 or 60 years since you were playing, well, of course you've played for longer than that, but for Gloucester and so on, you've put an awful lot back into the game and still are. So.
Well, yeah, I feel like I've done most things that I try to do most things to the best of my ability, and I've got a great deal of enjoyment out of it.
You played 191 times for Gloucester.
Yes.
How many times did you play for Cheltenham?
About 300 times, Cheltenham.
So you probably played virtually 500 games of first class rugby.
I would have done, yeah.
Then you played for Bournemouth.
Yeah.
Then you played for Bath United.
And then I played for
Crewe. It's an incredible,
incredible
career, really.
Yeah. All that many years, you must have played an awful lot of games for various teams at Froome.
I went right through down through the first two or three years there. I was a regular selection for the first team, whether they were a bit sentimental, but I managed to keep going for about 3 years when I first got there in 1970. Then I started dropping down the team. I never had any really serious injuries all the time I was playing. I broke my nose once and I dislocated my finger, but nothing like they have now, these serious injuries. So I was very lucky there. As long as I could keep moving around the field, I was all right. And training didn't come into it at the end, as long as you got onto the field. And that's the thing in this day and age. It's difficult, even for the combination size you're in here, the number of sides have gone down slowly over the years.
Mm. Well, and the move to playing in leagues seemed to reduce the number of players because it became a game for the more serious rugby player rather than the coarse rugby player.
Yeah, but that's the difficulty now, is how they get all the games into a season. They can't do it.
Yeah.
And that's sadly what's happened with the county. They have to push the county to the end of the season.
Yeah.
And you can't rely on professional players to the same extent. But then the county, in my opinion, still do a magnificent job doing all the administration for the under-20s, which is one of the stronger sides in the county now, and all the minis and all that, and all the county teams. But it's not the same influence it had in the old days, and they just can't squeeze them in. And they keep on starting these tournaments, the RFU. It's got too much. You just can't get them into the Saturdays. Most clubs say, well, the league's the important thing, which it is in a way, and if you want to get promotion, well, you can only go up so far, because it gets to the stage where you might have the finances to do it for one season, then next season you come down, natural progression.
Mm.
And it's the same at the top. It's hard to finance it all in the professional age. It affects it so much at the top, more so than it does at the bottom at the moment. It's just the way it's evolved. But people generally like the league system. They get games with a competitive nature to them, as long as they don't get too many of them.
Yeah.
But that's you can't stop it developing. It's supposed to be the way that rugby's going. And
yeah, but it's also nice to have a structure that allows you know, the course rugby player to carry on until he's 48.
I agree.
Well, thank you very much for that, Alan. That's been a very enjoyable afternoon chatting to you. Thank you for inviting us around.
Thank you very much for coming. Yeah, and I wish you all good fortune in your project to keep going.